Right? Sure. Okay. I just wanted to read something really quick. This is regarding the recent shooting down in Orlando. And this is from Ryan LaStrange. His insight, he's a prophetic voice in America today. And I think it for me, it really shows me the need for prophets today to help guide the church and help the church understand what's going on, because without them, people come up with all sorts of crazy notions. And of course, you know, I expected this to come, you know, like, oh, the shooting down in Orlando was just God's judgment on the gay community. It's like, no, it wasn't his judgment on the gay community. This, the cross, took care of all of that. So God's not punishing people, and it's always interesting, kind of like why is it always America? It's like, you know, what about like North Korea and, you know, other countries? But it always seems like God's got it out for America. Anyway, so don't get sidetracked. I was preaching in Perry, Florida when I heard the tragic news about the attack in Orlando that left 50 dead and even more injured. My heart was heavy as I pondered the tremendous loss of life and the evil plans of the enemy to strike such fear in people's hearts in this hour. At the time of this writing, I am in Panama City Beach taking some downtime. I have been praying over the state of Florida and for America, making an appeal to heaven. Florida has a long, rich history of revival. My own spiritual father, Dr. Norvell Hayes, enjoyed some of his greatest exploits in ministry in the state of Florida. There have been numerous moves of revival in the state. I have always regarded Florida as both a revival and a forerunner state. The forerunner spirit is a brave, pioneering spirit that goes out ahead, plowing open the ground and releasing the glory. As I was staring out at the emerald waters of the Gulf of Mexico, my heart was pondering the reasons for the tragedy in the state that's demanding the world's attention. I personally know so many powerful ministers in the state of Florida who are laboring for awakening and mobilizing the bride for prayer and intimacy. Suddenly I heard the Lord whisper, "It's Florida's Ziklag moment." What is a Ziklag moment? It is the moment of intense struggle and attack. David was one of the most powerful forerunners in the Bible, yet he was struck to his very core at Ziklag. We find the story in 1 Samuel 31 through 8. David and his men came to Ziklag and found it burned with fire, their wives and families taken captive. These powerful warriors suddenly discovered that all they loved and held dear was gone. Their enemies had successfully executed a secret mission and had taken their loved ones. It was the worst possible outcome. They were hit and decimated on every level. Examining the meaning of the word Ziklag reveals some powerful parallels between the horrendous circumstances of David's men and our own lives today. Looking at various opinions and root words associated with Ziklag, a clear picture emerges. Ziklag represents a place of pressure and distress where what is on the inside begins to flow out. David was doing what God had asked him to do as a forerunner, yet the forces of evil met him with great strength. Florida is arising to take her place as a forerunner in the nation, giving birth to houses of prayer, powerful prophetic ministries, and places of awakening. I am convinced that Florida will see many more wonderful outpourings of the Holy Spirit within her borders. This evil attack is an attack on the forerunner. The goal is to release fear and division. It was at Ziklag, in the midst of battle, that David's own men turned against him. The enemy always works in times of crisis to release strife and division. He wants to abort unity and intensify the attack. David's victory in Ziklag began with two powerful steps. First, he asked for the ephod, his priestly garment. He reclaimed his identity and refused to waver off of how the Father defined him. In this moment, Florida must embrace its prophetic identity and destiny as a forerunner state. It must cling to the words of the Lord and make war with the prophetic utterances. Secondly, David inquired of the Lord as to the next step. When the word of the Lord came forth, David received his marching orders and led the call to battle. It is imperative that Florida hears and heeds the prophetic words over the territory. Florida is a state that is alive with prophetic ministry and vibrant proclamation. In this Ziklag moment, it is time to tune in, listen, and follow the prophetic leading. There is a great emphasis on rich, powerful prophetic ministry in the state and in the nation. The spiritual leaders and voices of awakening in the state of Florida and in the nation must wrap themselves in the ephod of identity and arise. My prayer for Florida is that God pours out his healing balm and that the state grabs hold of its forerunner identity, refusing to let go. That the prophets and prophetic voices release the word of the Lord, not opinions or political debates, over the state. That the presence of a spiritual enemy is recognized and conquered in the spirit, and that tremendous healing balm is poured out in this forerunner state. May God continue to pour out his presence and let his hand be mighty upon Florida and the nations. There is work to be done, prayers to be prayed, revivals to be birthed, and exploits to enjoy. Ziklag shall not define the people of God. Only his voice, his word, and his plans. Cry aloud, prophets, pray with passion, intercessors, and keep pioneering forerunners. I was thinking about that, and then shortly after, we hear the little two-year-old boy getting killed by the alligator, and which is tragic, and once again, so many idiots voice their opinion, blaming the parents, and it's just like the people are in so much pain, and yet people are, anyway. I was asking the Lord, is there any connection between these two? The 50 individuals killed in the bar, nightclub, whatever it was, and this little two-year-old boy being killed. And this is what I think I heard, and I could be totally wrong. But the Lord showed me that it was a group on the outside and a young boy, a child, and children are often overlooked, walked over. And so it was two groups that were seemingly not a part of the whole, and the enemy is using this to further polarize and isolate the nation, to keep some people out and to overlook the weak and helpless. So just be praying. And today's message ties into this in a way, because it's about us and the authority that we carry, and that we don't have to just sit on the sidelines and just watch everything being played out and just kind of throw your hands in the air and like, oh, well, you know, bad things happen. But what to do in spite of all of that. I started listening to a message by Chris Vallotton a few days ago, and I only listened to a little part of it. And in it, he said, he's written a number of books. You know, he's on staff at Bethel, and he speaks all over the world. So he gets a lot of emails, messages on Facebook and letters and correspondence of various kind. And he said one person messaged him and said, do you believe in dominion theology? And he said, I don't even know what dominion theology is. But he said, I believe in winning. He said, I've read the end of the book, and we win. So he said, you know, the church is supposed to be victorious, overcoming, winning. So he said, I don't really know, you know, what dominion theology is, but I believe that we're supposed to win. So I went online to look up, to see if there's like an official definition for dominion theology. And really, this is what I've come to realize. Whenever anything, it seems like new, a new revelation, a deeper, fuller revelation, what God wants the church to know, if it deviates at all from, this is the way I've been taught, this is what I've always learned, this is what I've been told, suddenly there's a new theology, you know, dominion theology, replacement theology, all sorts of different theologies, and usually it's labeled as heresy, and stay away from that, it's completely wrong, and so I was just like, you know, is there a definition? So I looked at about 20 different websites, and never really got this is the definition. There's just a lot of things, and some of the different websites didn't agree on everything, and so it's like a lot of stuff thrown into this bucket labeled dominion theology, and they say it's, you know, it's taken from Genesis 1, 26, 28, and which we're going to read this morning, and that's taken wrong. It was wrongly interpreted. The word dominion doesn't mean dominion; it means stewardship. That's a better definition. And I'm like, well, I looked it up every concordance I could find, and it means dominion. Dominion, rule, reign, to tread under your feet is what the word means. And stewardship could apply to that. And so it was all this definition of, and some of the definitions were where Christians take over the world by force if necessary. I'm like, well, that's the Crusades. Didn't they do that in the Crusades? You know, even advocating violence if need be, and I'm like, I've never heard any of this. And every position of authority around the planet, whether it be governmental, business, whatever, needs to be occupied by a Christian. And I'm like, well, it'd be nice if everyone got saved, and then those positions would be occupied by a Christian. But it was this kind of tactical, strategic, you know, Christians are going to take over the world. One person wrote, you know, it sounds like Islam, except probably not killing people. Maybe not. Just like, I don't know who's purported this teaching, but I mean, I've never heard it come out of anyone's mouth ever. And so I don't know how accurate it is. And then as I dug a little bit deeper, some of the websites had the exact same word-for-word writings, like they cut and paste it from someone else's onto their website. And then a lot of the people, this was kind of their attitude. God's in control of everything. He does everything. Sometimes he sovereignly heals someone, maybe delivers someone from a demon, but it's all up to him. Like, we have no really part in it at all. He does it all, and we're just kind of sitting on the sidelines watching the game being played out. I'm like, oh, well, then, yeah. Any teaching at all that empowers people is like verboten, forbidden. Okay, so if you want to go online and try and get a definition of dominion theology, go for it. And so I want to reiterate today, what I believe to be true and what I believe the Bible clearly lays out for. It's for humanity, but the only ones that really can lay hold of it now are the church, because it's his directive is for people in right relationship with him. So you don't go off like a loose cannon doing whatever you want. Okay? Okay, Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then God said, this is the New King James. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So if you know any creeps, you've got dominion over them. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And dominion means to rule, have dominion, dominate, tread down, to have dominion, subjugate, to cause, to dominate. And I know we recently did a study by Bill Johnson a while back, and he goes into this in detail. And he said, you know, God's original plan, and he put two people in the garden, and the garden was not the earth. The garden was just the garden, an area that God prepared and created that was perfect. But it wasn't the whole earth. It was just the garden. So he put them in the garden, and then he says this to him, you know, have dominion over everything. The NIV, there's one line that the NIV says, the wild beasts or something like that. And I think the more accurate translation is the earth. The earth. So the earth itself. So they were to have rule and reign over the garden. And then he said, be fruitful and multiply, because his ultimate plan they could not do by themselves, two people. And the ultimate plan was to take the garden and keep expanding its borders until the whole earth was the garden. So that's God's plan. It's still his plan. You know, just because man messed up, God didn't like, well, chuck that plan, now we got to come up with something else. It's still his plan. And so when Jesus, he died, was buried, and resurrected to reverse the curse, take the keys back from the enemy, give them back to man, so we could get back to plan A. So now we're in the time of it's still plan A, and the church is supposed to be taking dominion over the whole earth. Destroy the works of the devil, just like Jesus did. And, you know, the people that really had issue with dominion theology was that everything Jesus did, only he did. We can't do those things. Even though Jesus said, these things and greater will you do. It's like, well, Jesus was God, so he did all these things, and we can't do that, so, you know, so we just exist, hang on to the end, even though it violates everything Jesus said. You know, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And a lot of these, the people, they don't believe the kingdom is now. It's still, it's out there in the future, thousands of years away, whenever. When Jesus comes back, then the kingdom will come. And it's like, no, when he came, the kingdom came with him. He left home and he brought home with them. So when Jesus came to the earth the first time as a baby, the kingdom came. And so he demonstrated the kingdom everywhere he went. This is what the kingdom looks like. This is what's possible when the kingdom, when the reign of the kingdom comes and is imposed here on the earth. People are healed, they're set free, good things happen. Okay, and they said, This is the only scripture that talks about man taking dominion, and it's wrong. And so I thought, well, here's another one. It's Daniel 7:27. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So Daniel 7 was a prophecy that was looking forward to when Jesus came. So that was fulfilled when Jesus came. So Jesus demonstrated the kingdom. Then when he left, he took the kingdom and he gave it to his people. That's the only way they could. These works and greater will you do. That's it. Through the Holy Spirit releasing the kingdom wherever they went. Okay. And they say, you know, well, the kingdom didn't come. It hasn't come yet. It's not coming until Jesus comes back. And then we can do all sorts of cool stuff. It's like, no, it came. Matthew 12:28, Jesus said, But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you before you expected it. That's the Amplified. Luke 10:9, and heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom has come near to you. Mark 1:14-15. It was right after John's arrest that Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God, saying, the time has come at last. The kingdom of God has arrived. You must change your hearts and minds and believe the good news. And they said something about when some people use the term the gospel of the kingdom when it's the gospel of salvation. Well, Paul used it. He quotes that same thing, and we talked about it, I don't know, it was weeks ago. It's the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation, the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel is all-inclusive. It contains all of that. It's just not the gospel, you get your sins forgiven and go to heaven. Okay. Okay, one more, Romans 8:19. For even the whole creation, all nature, waits eagerly for the children of God to be revealed. That's us. You put your name in there. It says all of creation, all of creation, the land, you know, rocks, the seas, it's all eagerly waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed, to be seen, releasing the kingdom for its benefit. Remember, little garden expanding until it covers the whole earth. What's the garden represent? Perfect. Everything's perfect. So, all of the rest of creation is waiting for that to take place. Who's going to do it? Well, we'll just sit back and watch God do it. Well, he's going to do it, but he's going to use you to do it. I mean, sometimes I wish he wouldn't wait on us, but he's chosen to use people, imperfect as we may be, to accomplish his will on the earth. That's why it takes people in right relationship with him who hear his voice and obey and carry it out. And even when you don't hear his voice, when you know his will, that broken people need to be healed. That's his will, to restore humanity to wholeness. So you don't have to wait for the green light, because the light is green. let me look at the clock, because I know there's barbecues today. I have been experimenting with authority. And I'm realizing that we, I don't think, have a clue of what God has given us and the authority that we carry. And so when we hear things like, well, God will do it just sovereignly because, you know, he's in control of everything. It's like, well, the Bible says the highest heavens belong to him. The earth he has given to man. So he created it. He owns it. But he's put us here in charge of it. And he does very little apart from working through people. And that's one of the biggest confusions that whole theology has created, it's created so many atheists. Well, if God is just a loving God, why did he let all those people get killed down there? Because he's not a micromanager. He's not in control of everything. He could be, but the earth he has given to man. So if bad things happen, it's because we've let them. So anyway, back to experimenting. And I encourage you to do things like this, to test out the limits of the authority that he's given you. The other day I was working on our sprinkler system. You know you didn't do the sprinkler system right when you have dry spots. Kind of like, well, it looked really good on paper. Everything was covered. But it's like, well, this spot isn't getting water. So I dug a little trench to find the water line so I could tap in and hook up another line. And so I was out there digging, and the sun was blazing. But I thought, well, it's in the 80s, so I better do it before it gets to 100. So I'm out there digging, and I looked up in the sky, and I noticed there was like two little clouds kind of off in the distance. So I just said, it'd be really nice if you came over the top of me to give me some shade. You know, I felt like Jonah, kind of like, it'd be nice if there was a little leaf over my head, you know. And so I just said, it'd be nice if you clouds came over and shielded me. And so I'm digging away, I'm down in there, suddenly I notice like, oh, I look up, it's like, hey, it's cloudy. And it's just, you know, the little cloud just moved over. And now you could say, well, it was just coincidence. And it's like, maybe it was. And so, but it didn't stay very long. It, you know, it's kind of like, okay, there you go, we're moving on. And I'm like, okay, well, that was nice for 3 minutes. And so I'm back in the sun again. I'm like an egg on a skillet. And so I just said, I want clouds, like, over me now. And all of a sudden, within a few minutes, I looked and here comes this huge clouds, just like rain clouds, just rolling in. And I thought, well, I didn't want any rain. But it was cloudy, and it was a lot cooler. And I noticed, you know, it'd be a couple little drops falling, and I just said, rain, hold off for a while till I'm done. I don't want to work in the mud. And then no rain. But the clouds all just stayed there. And I kind of thought, this is kind of cool. And he's like, well, that's demonic. That's occultic. You can't do that. Well, Jesus did it. Yeah, a number of us have done it. Yeah. And, you know, Jesus was in the boat in the storm. He said, he spoke to the storm. And I think, like, this is like a paradigm shift that we need to understand, you know, pray into. But we have to start seeing creation as something that can hear your voice and respond. And see, just saying that is kind of like, oh, he needs to check into the mental ward. Like, this is crazy talk. And see, that's why I just think there's so much available for the church, but we've been told forever that, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. Oh, only God can do that. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm his son. You know, his inheritance, he's given to me. You know, so that everything Jesus did, I can do. But if you don't believe that, then you won't do anything. Then life just rolls us over. And we just like, well, you know, I'm no more special than anyone else. It's like, well, I am. I'm the highly favored one. And you can say that about yourself, too. Because, like, I'm his son. I'm the apple of his eye. See, it's that. Those are like declarations that we should be making. Remember, your words create worlds. But if you don't believe it, then you won't act on it. I got to share Rob's story. My back is better now. Rob and Mary's, you know, hot water heater went out. And was Rob at work? Were you at work? Yeah. So Mary said, can you come see if the pilot light went out? It's like, sure. And it's down in the crawl space. You have to walk around kind of like this, you know, about this high. So I went over there, and as I got to the hot water heater, there's rusty water all running out. It's sitting in a puddle of water, and I'm like, ooh, I don't think it's the hot water. I don't think it's the pilot light. And it had just, it was 20 years old or something. So I broke the bad news to him. She's dead. And I don't know if there's resurrection power enough to bring this one back. So, you know, you learn the joys of being a homeowner. But, and I think there's something in that too, that things don't have to wear out. I mean, God did it for the Israelites in the desert. Their clothes never wore out or anything. Nothing wore out. So it's kind of like, can't we take that and bring it into our life? Where, like, everything you own just lasts. I think so. That's another area you start experimenting in. So anyway, so we went and got the new hot water heater and drug the old one out, put the new one in, hooked it all up. And I had gone online. I always like to look at reviews by people that buy stuff. Yeah, not what the manufacturer says. This is the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, I like to see what people actually used it. And there was a number of people that said, it's when it was a little electronic igniters, it's all sealed up. I'm used to lighting a little match and sticking it in there, you know, on the end of a stick. Well, this is just, you know, hit a little button and it's supposed to and light. Well, some of the people in the review said, you know, mine didn't work and they had to send me out a whole new part and it was brand new. And I'm like, well, that's not going to be us. It was us. We get it all hooked up, and we could not light it to save our souls. I mean, we tried everything under the sun, because you can't get in there. It's all sealed up. So it's just, you know, so finally we got out the directions. You know, if all else fails, read the directions. So we read the directions, and, like, we were doing everything he said, you know. Hold this down, hit this, hold 10 seconds, all this kind of stuff, and it'll light. No, I mean, we tried and tried. So the next morning, Rob was going to call him and tell him, you know, send me out a new part. And so what, while you were, like, on the phone or right before you called her? So right before he called her, he spoke to the hot water heater and said, I command you to work in the name of Jesus. And then he tried it. I tried up. See, God has given us authority to have dominion over all of creation. But it's like, it's our own mind that keeps us from exploring things that, you know, we're told, well, that's taboo. You can't do that. You know, it's like, well, you know, and I shouldn't say this, but what the heck? There's a couple magicians on TV, like Chris Angel, I think, is one of them, and there's another guy. He's in England. And Lauren says he can figure out all their tricks, the illusion, you know. But some of these are like, well, I don't know. Like, wow. I don't know how they did it. But one of them, I can't remember which guy, but he would levitate. You know, he would, and it freaked people out. I mean, they would just like, oh my gosh, and screaming, and some people were crying, and because it was so freaky. And, you know, he wasn't like levitating all over the city. It seemed like he levitated and moved about, you know, 6 inches, a foot, something like that. And people right away, like, oh, that's demonic. He's tapped into the dark side, the demonic and all of that. But when we read the Bible, you can say Jesus levitated over the water. Well, no, he walked on the water. Well, you know, semantics. Did he walk? Did he float? And Peter did too. So it's things like that that it's like, well, you know, just those two guys did it in the Bible and that's all that can do it. Like, I don't know. That's one of those, I don't know. Maybe these guys, these magicians, we won't say. I don't want to be controversial. When we let life just happen around us and let it affect us, and we develop the attitude that, like, well, que sera, sera, you know, whatever will be, then whatever will be. But when we start changing our paradigm and really understanding, and so that's why I like saying experiment. Experiment. God has given his people, those in right relationship with him, authority, power, dominion over all of creation, and especially over the demonic. But you don't have to take what he sends your way. Unless you think it's from God, then we just roll over and play dead. Well, God's sent me this cancer because he was trying to teach me something. I'm like, no, he wasn't. He's not the author of that. Steal, kill, destroy? Life, life in abundance. Steal, kill, destroy? Life in abundance. When we relate to God in the wrong covenant, you'll get strange ideas. He's the God of the new covenant. He's reconciling all people to himself by whatever means necessary. He wants all people brought to him. He's not judging their sin. It's all been forgiven. And he's placed us here as, and sometimes I think, like a policeman, where we don't let the devil get away with anything. We police the world on his behalf, destroying the works of the devil wherever they are, releasing life undoing damage, healing, whatever it is. And if you need some shade, just I just think it's funny. And if you don't want to do that, you know, it's not a salvation issue. It's like, well, if I don't do this, you know, I mean, I'm not going to go to heaven. No, because it's not by works of any kind. You can let life just steamroll you over. As long as you know Jesus, you're going. But why not have a little fun while you're here? Upset the apple cart. My yard always gets rain. Oh, did I stretch your heads enough? This is what I like to do. Closing today. Anyone that needs prayer for anything, you know, I want us to just gather around and minister. We're told in Scripture, pray for one another, bear one another's burdens. It's the relational aspect of Christianity. But see, knowing that you have the power, you have the authority to wield it. You know his heart for people. You know we're supposed to destroy the works of the devil. So then we just go as his ambassador. See, that's the definition of an ambassador. Someone who carries the full weight and authority and everything of where they came from. We're dual citizens. Paul said that. We're seated in heavenly places. We're a citizen of heaven. So we carry the full weight and authority of that with us. And I wanted to say this. Sometimes we can get the idea of, like, we're talking too much about us instead of him. And I get that. I get that. But he's the one that accomplished all of this for us, to equip us to take over in his place, to do the works of Jesus and greater. So if we just slough off and let that fall, then he's not getting what he paid for. So if you would like prayer today, just raise your hand and we'll just come around you and agree with you. And just like Wayne said, I mean, it may not be perfect, but I've always wanted this to be a learning atmosphere. You give it your best shot. You just do what the Bible says, and because it's him, it's his power, but he's choosing to use us. So if you want, you know, prayer for anything, just raise your hand real quick and we'll come gather around you and hold them up there for a minute so we can see. And I know some of you may have to go, and that's perfectly fine. Hold them up as long as you can. I was going to just close in prayer. Father, thank you for Father's Day. It reminds us of you. You're a good father, the best. Yeah, who does not hold back giving good gifts to your kids. That's just your nature. You're good. Thank you for what you've already given us, the power and authority and dominion over the works of the enemy, over all creation. And so we're going to exercise that right now. Holy Spirit, it's your power that we're releasing. We're nothing without you. Father, I just ask your blessing on every father today, that they would truly sense your presence and your favor on them, in Jesus' name. So just, raise your hand real quick and just encourage a few people just to gather around those with their hand raised.